it to do for your neighbor, do it. Hear my English. Anything he ministers to you to do for your neighbor, do it. Just do it. Tell your neighbor, the Lord is ministering to me to do this. Oh, I feel I should do something for you. What can I do for you? I feel. Don't go to somebody, I don't know, the Lord is leading me to you that you should bless me. It's 419. Answer the person, the Lord has not told me that he has told you to come to me. So please go and pray that the Lord will tell you to come to me. I mean, he will tell me that you are coming. Amen. Be very, very, let's be wise. So no matter how we try to preach the gospel of salvation and brotherly love, don't lose sight that Satan still has his people planted in the church. And that is why in the third part and the concluding part of the message, we titled The Contentious Faith. We want to round it up with how to resist these antichrists, these tares that are planted in the church. As we pick our text this morning from James chapter 4 and verse 7, this is what James had to say.
Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Apostle Paul, another apostle in Galatians chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 5, this is what he had to say.
And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus.
You see?
That they might bring us into bondage.
Uh-huh.
To whom we gave place by subjection.
Uh-huh.
No. Not
for an hour. We did not give them small chance at all. That the truth of the gospel might continue
with you.
Apostle Jude in verse 3. Also, the same thing.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once
delivered. We are reading Jude verse 3 and verse 4. Go ahead.
That ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
We are to contend for the faith that was delivered unto the saints, and one of the faith that was delivered to the saints is brotherly love. It was a commandment. They were identified by love. But what happened? Let's read it.
For there are certain men crept in unawares.
That crept into the church unawares.
Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Oh.
Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
And if we are going to contend, it's another word for resist, to contend. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke concerning John. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth what? Violence. And the violent taketh it by force. That is the contention. And we are part of the restored church. And we are not only being restored in doctrine, we are restored also back to the character of Christ.
Amen.
We are restored back to true fellowship, Christian fellowship. It's going to be very difficult. It will take the grace of God to achieve it anywhere, because these tares, they also have a ministry to destroy the fabric of love, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. They are everywhere. Didn't you hear me? Anytime I preach anything, they are there. Every technology for the betterment of the people's life, there are people that we go to hack it to do evil. They go to groups WhatsApp groups and pick people's numbers. Recently, they went into Women Fellowship, Daughters of Zion WhatsApp group, and they are picking sisters' phone numbers and then calling them individually. And they know how to do it, to hack it. You will see the profile, your own, the profile of somebody you have the contact of. Like they did that of my wife. The profile in my wife's WhatsApp is her son, but her name is written Ebele. And so the person is now calling members abroad and everywhere and saying, I'm Brother Ebele, because the picture there is a picture of a man. Something that's supposed to be our good, they will hack it and do all the nonsense they are doing. It happens in the church too. As we preach love now, they are now gearing up to take advantage of this teaching. They will come and say, love, 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 and you don't know. They will come there, and you don't know that it's a mosquito that is coming. You don't know that it's an electric fish that is standing before you. We will not give. Apostle Paul said, not for 1 hour, always not for 1 minute. We will stand them. So some little tips that may help us to resist him, resist them. They will flee. That is, flee from you, not from the fellowship. They will change address. For he goeth to and fro, seeking whom he might devour. And what he wants to devour is the true fellowship. So if he doesn't work with you, he will go to another place. Oh, if all of us have the same understanding, the same approach, then we will keep them miserable in our midst. Miserable. Until Jesus comes and delivers us from their hand completely by taking us away. So my own advice as a minister and from experience is, number one, focus on why you go to church. There is a reason why you located this church. And the only reason, amen, why anybody will come here is your spiritual well-being, I believe. When the Bible says, my people, I say, people are destroyed, said, without vision, the people are, what happens?
The people perish.
The people will perish for lack of vision. Because when you don't have vision, there is a focus. Vision gives you focus. This is what I came here for. So you will be focusing on what the reason you came here. You came here for the betterment of your spiritual life. You are looking for salvation. Or you are looking for healing. That's why you came. Or you want to prosper. That is why everybody has his reason for coming. And the sum, they are coming to look for position in the church. Some came to look for wife, and some come to look for husband. That's the reason they join choir. Focus on it. Package yourself well so that when you get what you're looking for, you go. Whatever is the reason that brings you to the church, focus on it. I'm talking to people who have come here seeking their spiritual well-being, the betterment of their spiritual life. If you are the one, number two, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. Watch this.
Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Evil communication, evil association, Choose who you walk with. Choose who you associate with. That person must be somebody that will aid you in fulfilling the reason you came to bride. Evil communication. Jesus Christ spoke about how the church will die and be corrupted in Matthew 13, verse 33, in that parable.
Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. See, the whole was leavened.
And that woman is the Roman church that brought idolatry and mixed it with the Christian faith. Evil communication. That is how Christianity has been reduced to what it is today. Go to church. You don't know whether in a church you go. I've been a shrine, you go. I've been a one secret society, you go. I've been a we're in a nightclub, you day. I've been a where are you? Enter church and you see all manner of images erected there. Their bow. No, you don't know whether this is a church or some. You just don't understand what is going on. All because they got themselves entangled with evil people. Evil people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There must be separation. I said there must be separation. It's true. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 is expressly spoken there.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Eh?
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Uh-huh. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?
Uh-huh.
And what communion hath light with darkness?
Uh-huh.
And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
Light and darkness cannot come together. What does verse 16 say?
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?
Uh-huh.
For ye are the temple of the living God.
Uh-huh.
As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate.
Again.
Wherefore, come out from among them.
And be ye what?
And be ye separate.
Separate yourself. Uh-huh.
Seeth the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
You know the seventh parable in Matthew 13, verse 47 and verse 48. Is the condition of the church. Uh-huh.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down.
In the church of Jesus Christ, when you go on evangelism, it will catch all manner of people with different motive and nature, gather them together, but after they are gathered together, there is going to be a separation. Go on.
And sat down and gathered the good into vessels,
uh-huh,
but cast the bad away.
There must be separation. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. Water and oil don't mix together. That's the truth. And so in identifying who you will associate with, go beyond the person's anointing. Go beyond the person's gift. Go beyond the way the person praises God. And see, after church, outside the church, when we meet, is our association adding any value to my spiritual life? When I meet with this person, does he make me, after our meeting, anytime we come together in our association, does he create hatred for anybody at all in the church? Does he create hatred? Or it makes me love my brethren? Anytime the person visits me, what does he or she talk about? And anybody that comes around you and all they do is all talk about people, talk about people, talk about people, be very careful. When we come together, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about revelation, our spiritual life, how we are progressing. Don't look at other people's fault. You have to confess your own fault to one another, not to tell somebody about another person's fault. You are not the inspector of his fault. It is a device of Satan to initiate you into witchcraft in the church. Will it help me to achieve the purpose I came to church? That's why in Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20.
To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
If anybody goes contrary to what I'm saying now and tries to make you hate your sister, hate your brother, by any means, somebody you have not met, but because of what somebody who is close to you have told you about that person, you see the person, you begin to hate the person. It is because there is no light in that person. It's initiating you into darkness. Resist it. The third point I want to advise you that will help you to be delivered from the hands of these tares is in what the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13.
He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him.
Again.
He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him.
You just hear something without the confirmation, you are acting. He said it is foolishness and it is shameful. Because you are supposed to be wiser than that. You are a matured person. You are a human being. You have the ability to discern. Why should somebody dictate to you how you will relate with someone? It's an activity of satanic forces in the church. Proverbs 21 verse 23. Proverbs 21 verse 23.
Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles.
Many of us, at the end, amen, the person that would have even been a blessing from you, because of the way you react with the person, due to what you had concerning the person, you have deprived yourself from the blessing. See, God has ordained that he will answer our prayers using man. I repeat. I keep saying this every time. I don't know how many people have caught it. This is a principle. Lord, grant to me favor. Grant to me this. Grant to me this. Even when you say, Lord, I want the healing, you will either use somebody to lay hand on you for healing, or somebody will come to you to suggest a drug that you will take. It's true. He will use man to answer your prayer. And you are not to choose the man that he will use. And the person that is ordained to answer your prayer may be the person you are fighting. And therefore, you remain in the same condition. The condition does not change. In this ministry, God has placed his ministers in this church. And you are not to decide which minister he will use to bless you. When this virus was walking in this church, before my eye, I saw it happening here. When you say minister should anoint, and they stay like this, immediately they come. And I will stand and I will look. That was the extent we were reduced to. You come. What if he's the one that God has ordained? You see how people come to church and miss their blessings? God's ways are not our ways. I say God's ways are not our ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So be careful what you do to each other. And there is a law. That is why some people stay in a place. God is blessing other people and he's not blessing you. You will see people who come to a church. The first day they reach here, the prophet will pick them. And solution, bam, bam, and then they give testimony here every Friday. But our old members, what is happening is because you decided to despise the gift that God has given you. And it is achieved through these antichrist tears that are planted there. They have spoken so much negative things against the minister until when you see him, without you having a personal experience with him, you have already condemned him as a child of hell. And God brought him to Bride Assembly to be a blessing to you. He's a channel. You despise him, you have to go somewhere else to look for the prayer you are looking for. Telling you now, remember again that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, what did he say?
As therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Again.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even
whatever
so to them.
Whatever you want people to be doing to you, this is how you should be also doing to people. This is what you should be doing to people. You may not understand me. It's not because I'm a pastor. That's why I understand this principle. I studied the Bible and I caught it. And I have lived my life so that if we have to part ways between me and you, no matter how rough the fight is, you yourself, you will know that the fault is not mine. The fault is from you. You will know it later. I live my life in such a way that if I see you tomorrow, I will not be ashamed. I will not be ashamed. During the weekend, we had to go for a meeting, a burial, funeral of my former pastor. I left the church. Now fight, with fight, now we come out. But it was not a fight of anything, it was doctrine. It was doctrine. I disagree. No, I disagree. That's all, nothing more. And I'll go back to him. Any occasion I know happening in the church, I don't wait for them to invite me. I'll be there. When they see me like this, I'll be there. I'm your brother. And I made sure no member of that church came to join this place. So they won't say we broke his church. Now his wife is dead. He called me personally to inform me. And when I went there, other pastors who abused me, social media, who abused me. I went with my PA. I told him, use this camera. I want some things recorded. Everyone I greet, snap. Everyone I greet, snap. And I forwarded the pictures to my wife. Brother Mo! See, they want to lift me up. They want to. They were carrying me up and down. Carrying me, Brother Moses, Brother Moses. I go, look my peer, snap. Oh. Amen. But they hate me with perfect hatred. One of them has stayed here for so many years. And a brother who was in that place left, was now in the north. I was putting together a foundation and wanted me to be one of the directors. But he wanted one member in that church. I don't know him. He didn't meet me in that church. Tell you how the Christian faith has been destroyed. And he said, Brother Moses, that brother will also be member. We were supposed to travel from the north to come and hold a meeting to set up the foundation. And he told that brother, call him and say, is Brother Moses, did you say Brother Moses is also part of it? He never met me in that church. So I don't know him. He said, wait, let me confirm from my pastor first. Then 1 week after, he called and said he will not join the place because Brother Moses is a monk. So you can imagine what the pastor told him about to me. So I pick phone and I call him. I say, I understand that you will not join that foundation because I am there. He said, yes. I say, it is based on what your pastor told you, isn't it? He said, yes. I said, but this same brother that is gathering us together has given you contract. You are an architect. You have built houses for Muslims. He said, yes. And you know what he answered me? He said, those people are in error, but they are sincerely in error. But you are willfully in error. That is why I will not associate with you. Well, that is the same pastor that saw me. Brother Moses, he hugged me and was shaking me and shaking me. You see the type of Christianity we have now. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is called French kiss. That's how the French people made their African colonists think that they love them. It was a French kiss. They were sucking them and sucking them. You know, in the whole of Africa, the most impoverished countries are the colonies of the French people. You go to Cotonou, you would think that you are in a local government in Nigeria here. You go to Gabon, you will know, see what is happening there. Until the youth woke up one day and said, this nonsense must stop. They held their destiny. Amen. Our own is our own people were colonizing us by ourselves. Then may God deliver us. Praise the Lord. It is what you give, you receive. If you give love, you will receive love. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give.
Give, and it shall
it's
be
not
given.
Money. It's not talking about money. Money is only a part of what you give. Anything that proceeds from you to another person, you have given the person something. Because that thing you have released towards that person, whether made the person happy or made the person sad, made the person's life be better or made the person's life be the worse. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good, not small.
Good measure.
The thing that you give will be multiplied in good measure. It's a law of life.
Pressed down.
But then it will be pressed down. You will not just be spread, you will be compacted very well. Shaking, until it will become solid.
Shaking together.
Shaking together.
And running over. Shall men give into your bosom.
Oh.
But
who we give?
Men.
Not be God though. Who we give?
Men.
Because you are given to men, men will also give to you. It's not the person you do it to that will return it to you. Men will give it to you. The day you carry this principle, you'll be careful how you deal with human beings that come your way. That is the problem we have even in the church. People will come to church and instead of prospering, they become the worst. Do you know? William Branham made this statement, and I believe it. He said, our thoughts speak louder before God than the words from our mouth. I believe it. Because it is what comes out of the mouth is manufactured from the heart. The way you even think towards your people can affect you. And even people's health is affected by the way they think of others. It is from the way you think of others that jealousy, envy, is produced. You have not said anything, but your eye has spoken it all. But you have not said anything. It will not be our portion. Hallelujah. My advice point number five now is what Apostle Paul told us in Colossians chapter 3 from verse 12.
Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies.
Bowels inside of you. All that is your embodiment is mercy.
Kindness.
Now what is mercy? Listen, mercy here is the definition of mercy. Mercy is forgiveness or compassion shown to somebody when it is in your power to harm that person. Instead of harming that person, you forgive the person or you show the person mercy. That is the law of Christ. That is called charity. That is called mercy. That is called mercy. He said, put on the bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind,
meekness,
long-suffering, and what?
Forbearing one another.
Bear ye one another. Tolerate one another. Tolerate one another.
And forgiving one another.
Whatever the person has done, if you have any have a quarrel against you, evil.
As Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
That is the law of Christ. Meditate on this scripture. He said, put it on. It means, don't take it to the Lord in prayer. It is available. You only take it and put it on. Go forth and acquire it. Acquire, and it's easy because you have the Holy Ghost to help you get it. It's true. And you can't act it. You can't act compassion. You can't act forgiveness. You can't act it. Every opportunity I have to show somebody that I know hates me, I do it immediately. Because that's my own way of telling you I'm not operating the same level with you. I am under a law that is not tit for tat. And that is the truth. Every opportunity I have to show somebody I know hates me, I will do it. I will show you love. I have been practicing this for years and I recommend it for you. We did medical checkup during the weekend.
Yes, sir.
My wife has been pushing me to do medical check. So we decided to do it this way. What did they say? Do you remember what the lab scientist said concerning me?
Everything is fine.
Everything is fine. It says, yes, sir. It says, not too many people of your age have these vitals.
That's right.
What is the secret? Which secret? Amen. Hallelujah. Which secret? It's nothing. Nothing. Peace, joy. People who live happy lives don't fall sick anyhow. Oh, no, you don't understand. Hallelujah. People who are happy, they don't fall sick anyhow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Put on charity. Put it on. It will give you health. It will give you strength. It will help give you strength. They came with their machine to do echo test to know my heart. And the man is asking me, when last did you check your heart? I say, one time I did for India. So I decided to check. And that I said, how many years ago? I said, more than 10 years ago. He said, And he said, that five people died during the football in Ivory Coast that is going on. It was a heart, oh. And I told him, I say, You see, so they were so much interested in the outcome of that football, they were following until they received heart attack when they thought they were going to lose. I said, I didn't know that they were playing ball. I didn't know. And that is the truth. I didn't know. I only had the gunshots. Ba, 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 ba. I said, I said, find out from the security. Why are they shooting? Then they came to tell me, say, oh, they are playing football. Somebody could win. They are rejoicing. That's why they were firing gunshots. I said, oh, they are playing football today. That was when I asked. And the man, they look at me. I say, I can't have heart attack from football because it's not part of me. I know they watch football. I didn't say it is wrong to watch football. I didn't say it is wrong. But the truth is, I didn't know that there is something going on. I mean, I know in the news there is something in about football going on in Ivory Coast as current affairs. But when the thing started, I don't know when the thing started. Until they said semi-final. And I think today now, some people didn't come to church because they said there is a final today. Eh? Oh, okay, it's in the night. What time are they playing it? Everybody knows the time, you see. And I'm not trying to be humble. I don't know. I don't know the time. I only hear that it is taking place today. So I can't have a potential because they think when they worry people, no, they worry me. I didn't say it's wrong to watch football, though, and they pray for footballers. Uh-huh. But I'm saying my lifestyle will not permit my vitals to be affected. And that is the truth. Praise the Lord. Don't know the power of love, what it does to your health. It's true. In Psalm 5, in Romans chapter 5, this is how we are supposed to love. Verse 6, 7, and 8, Romans.
For when we were yet without strength,
you see,
in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Uh-huh.
For scarcely for a righteous man we won't die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die.
Uh-huh.
But God commended his love towards us.
This is how we are to love one another. How?
In that while we were yet sinners.
While we were yet sinners, when we hated him, making him angry every day.
Christ died for us.
He died for us. In John chapter 15 and verse 12.
This is my commandment, that ye love one another uh-huh. as I have loved you.
You see?
Greater love hath no man than this,
yes,
that a man lay down his life for his friends.
There is no greater love than this. Go ahead.
Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you.
Uh-huh.
Henceforth, I call you
now,
not servant.
Now. I want us to go back again. Let's go back, please. Okay, let's move on. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10.
In this, the children of God are manifest.
Now, this is how you identify the children of God.
And the children of the devil.
And this is how you will identify the tares that are in our midst.
Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God.
Uh-huh.
Neither he that loveth not his brother.
You see? Go ahead.
For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
Uh-huh.
Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one.
You see, he was a tear and slew his brother.
And wherefore slew he?
Why did he slay him?
Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous.
It is always like that. It is the one that is having problem that attacks, that does the attacking. If you see a sister hating and attacking another sister, the one that is being attacked is better than that one in some things. Dresses better, more beautiful, more elegant, more graceful, receives more favor, more attention. That is what produces witchcrafts. And the folly of it all is that your hatred for that person will not collect the virtues of that person. So what are you achieving by it? It's witchcraft. And that person is enjoying him or her life going. And you are young. How has it, what has it added to you? To tell everybody this person is bad. How has it helped you? As the truth, please read on.
Verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Can you see? Please read it again.
Marvel, we know that we have passed from death unto life.
This is the evidence.
Because we love the brethren.
Verse 13 again.
Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you.
Don't be surprised when you see people hating you. I mean, hatred is because you have not done anything bad. Oh. You live your life in jail, 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 jail. But they are hating you. And it's worse. They are members of the same church with you.
Uh-huh. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Uh-huh. He that loveth not his brother abideth
evidence
in death.
Evidence that you have passed over. Jesus is our Passover. We eat the communion every Sunday now as our Passover. We have Passover through Christ. We are Passover from death to life. Read that scripture again.
We know that we have passed from death unto life.
We know that we have passed over from death to life.
Because we love the brethren.
The evidence is love, brotherly love.
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
You are still in death. You have not passed over yet. You are still in death. You are still in darkness. You have not benefited from that Jesus you call upon, you pray, you serve. You have not. Uh-huh.
Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer.
You are a murderer. And there are murderers in the church. And no murderer will go to heaven.
And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life.
No murderer had eternal life abiding in him. That is one evidence for you to know that you don't have the Holy Ghost yet. Go on.
Hereby perceive we the love of God.
Uh-huh.
Because he laid down his life for us.
This is the principle.
And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Not to kill. You are to kill yourself so that somebody else will live. Not to kill the person so that you will live. You are to make sacrifice for the betterment of your brother and your sister. Not to destroy your brother and your sister for your betterment. I don't know if somebody is understanding me. If there is any place I have seen selfishness exhibited, it's in this ministry. I am sorry. Now, where are they? Now I go talk about. Now, what are they seeing? Now I go talk about. How many of you give ride to brothers and sisters when we close service? So I'm not talking to people as I'm talking to us. And the reason you don't is because somebody has told you when you close, they go, this church, they go, don't talk to anybody. When you close, just they go, they go, Abi, you will go in the rapture, only you will go. From bus stop. But there are people here that make it a point of duty to carry people to and from church. I know you. Especially during the rainy season. We know the sacrifices many people make. You can see attachment for bus, but you cannot allow attachment for your private car where you are going. To make life easier for the person. How many people will say, all of you that live in this area, this family, this. In my former church, there's a brother there that when it was time for him to buy his car, he went and bought a bus. So I asked him, why do you buy bus? He said he bought bus because he lives at the Songo And he comes to, what do you call this place? Pangroof. For fellowship. He said he decided when God gave him money to buy, he had his brethren in mind. So all the people in that axis that are coming to church, every day, he knows the bus stop, he will stop and be picking them. That was his family car, a bus. So don't think I'm telling you what people have not practiced. They practice it. There are Christians that practice it. How many of you will try to find out in your house fellowship? Three people here that have cars. No. All of us. All the people here, let's manage car and come. And if there are too many, today, this Sunday, I will pay for the bus that will take us to church. At least I've reduced your expense by 50%. Love, Christian love. Because sitting at home there, you know what they are missing if they don't come to church. And all because there is no money. Can we finish reading that scripture?
Verse 17.
Yes.
But whoso at this was good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue.
But what?
But in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth.
This is how we know we are of the truth.
And shall assure our hearts before him.
Yes.
For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts.
Some people don't get hurt,
and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn
some
us
some people don't get conscience. So I'm talking to people who have conscience.
Then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him.
Why?
Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment.
What is the commandment?
That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ.
And what?
And love one another as he gave us commandments.
It's a commandment. It's a commandment. That is the symbol of the cross. It's a commandment. Love the Lord Jesus Christ and love the brethren. Praise the Lord. And for those of us who are neutral Christians, we have positive Christians, we have negative Christians, and we have neutral Christians, the three wires that produce light. Jeremiah 48, verse 10.
Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully.
Again.
Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood.
And you will understand this scripture from the story of Phinehas. In Exodus chapter 25, we know that story. Numbers 25. That you can read it on your own. In fact, read it from verse 1 to 4, so that you just to let those who don't.
And Israel.
Yes.
And Israel abode in Shittim. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab.
Can you see?
And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel.
They went and they disobeyed the commandment of God. The anger of God came. They were joining themselves in a feast offered to the God of the Moabs at Baal Peor, as the place they refer to that place, the feast of Baal Peor. And God was angry because it was contrary to the commandment of God. And people were dying. One day, 24,000 people died. And while they were there crying, Moses is there crying, everybody is crying, Father, have mercy upon us. People are dying. They saw one useless man that went to take one of those women, for which people are dying up and down. to go and sleep with her. Enter tent while the rest are crying. Phineas did not wait for Moses. Did not have meeting with anybody. He saw it. Other people too saw it. And what did he do? He went there, took his javelin and slaughtered them. Pierced the man from on top to the woman down and killed them. You will have said, you take your own too much. Why will you kill? Just because it's with the woman, this and that. What did God say concerning him? What was the commentary? God blessed Phineas. An everlasting blessing, you know, and enter the covenant of peace with him and his generations after him. Because by that action, God stopped the killing. His anger came down because of that action. You are in a church, you see something bad going on, and you don't stop it, you are cursed. The Bible says so. If you're a member of any church, because churches are joining us now from all over the world, you see something going on that will bring the anger of God in the fellowship. And one of the things that will bring the anger of God to fellowship is people who are not talking to each other, they are coming to take communion. For this reason, the church will go weak. People will be dying in the church. All this prayer, nobody will die this year, nobody will die this year. Don't allow these tears to bring something that will make our prayer not to work. You see it, address it. If you cannot handle it, report it. The situation you see to the authorities concerned, to the leaders of the group, to the pastor. The pastor's phone number is with everybody. Communication is very easy now. Help us to cleanse this place. Anybody coming to you to talk negative things, those acidic gossip, hold the person down. Hold the person down and send for the person where they talk. Say, oh yeah, repeat what they tell me. It's true. In Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, what did he say? Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20.
Woe unto them that call evil good.
Again.
Woe unto them that call evil good.
If you support evil, you are saying that evil is good. You say, woe to you.
And good, evil.
And something that is good, you bring it down and call it evil, it's a woe to you.
That put darkness for light, and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter.
So from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered a violence, and the violent taketh it by force. It is the responsibility of every member of the church to identify these tears in our midst. And if you tolerate them, you will be the first victim of their activities. I'm not cursing you. Continue to be a dumping ground. Continue to be a garbage dump. Anywhere place they put garbage, dustbin. What do you find there? What do you find there? You will find flies, bacteria, maggots, and everything. That is what will become of your condition. They stuff so much lies on you, and you believe it, that they want to kill you. Until even your shadow, now them be that. No peace again. You sleep, you wake up, you see lizard. You say, hey, they don't come. Fly. Everywhere is locked. Where did this fly come from? Now that prophecy, what they give me for bribe, that said they won't kill me. Hey, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. No peace. Before you know what, your health is affected. Your papa, your mama don't get hypertension. You don't develop hypertension. You don't develop palpitation. Before you know what, no peace. So what is the benefit of being a Christ? What is the benefit if I have no peace? So what is the comfort I have in receiving the Holy Ghost? It's because you allow these people who know what they are doing and pray that you don't become a target of this test. If they mean you, they know what to do. They can fake prophecy for you on phone, call you. I was in the mountain and your name was given to me. All the information they have concerning you, they will give it. And then you say, it's God talking, no. Will you sleep again? You are pregnant. They are saying, hey, hey. The enemy say you will die the day you will deliver. Oh, oh. Amen. And you will hear such prophecies upon all our teaching here, you will not talk. Hey, the reason you are not talking is, I beg. I don't want trouble with anybody. I don't want trouble with anybody. Because the truth is, if you talk and they find out, saying, now you talk and you are finished. There was an information that was passed to a sister in this church. And the sister called me to tell me, this is what happened. And the source got to know that I know that she's the one that said it. And she knows, she called her sister, you are the only one. I told this thing. You told daddy. Now me and you. And the assignment began. The assignment began on that sister. That sister had reason to run away from this church 3 times. Ministers had to go to bring her back. When you fall into their hands, so because of that fear, you will not talk. I know they will. You say if you not talk, you are cursed. The Bible says so. So you are between the deep sea and what? How did that proverb say? You not talk, you are cursed. You talk, the person will fight you. So which one you go choose? Because you must take one. If you not talk, you are cursed. If you talk, amen. Praise the Lord. They can do you nothing. Greater is he that is in me than he that is. If it is a righteous course you are pursuing, they can never get you. Can never get you. Praise the Lord. Resist him. Resist them. And that is one of the ways to resist them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 21 and 22 is my final scripture.
Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Uh-huh. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Uh-huh. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body.
Read it again, verse 21.
Prove all things.
What is it to prove all things? Amen. Hear a matter, confirm before you act. And when you have found that this is the truth and it is good for your well-being, hold fast
that which is good.
Hold fast to that which is good. But resist evil. Humble yourself under the mighty hands of God. And in due time, he will lift you up. Can we stand up? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That will be our prayer. Hear, oh, hear, and answer prayers. He knows all our weakness, but be humble enough to let him handle it. Everybody now.
I am praying, blessed Savior, to be more and more like Thee. I am praying that the Spirit, like a dove, may rest on me.
Answer this prayer in the name of Jesus.